Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson, news director for OneNewsNow.com. Normally, Walker would be in here for this last 25 minutes or so, but he's been battling some sickness, and so we just slid Fred over in his place and told him to go chillax a little bit.
Yeah. Get over it, Fred.
Slide on over here, Fred. We got to keep Walker healthy. He's young. He's got, kids at home, including two twins, and they got Thanksgiving coming up. And
yes.
And besides, he's like hosting the show tomorrow, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
So he
a little bit selfish.
He needs to be better for that. So, and then we have Steve Jordahl in, one of our fine reporters, who comes in typically at this third segment. Good morning / good afternoon to you, Steve, depending on where our listeners are listening.
Or good evening, because they could be anywhere in the world with the app.
That is true. Yeah. Anywhere with the AFR app. You can get it at the App Store or wherever Android phone users get their apps from. I forget what it's called.
Okay. So I got to get this straight. You're replacing Tim, and Fred is replacing Walker, and technically I'm replacing Fred because he was sitting here last time.
Yeah, but you're in your usual spot.
Okay.
So
I just got to keep the players straight.
Cool tie for those of you
who
are watching on Facebook or YouTube, Steve.
A little whimsical today.
Yeah, it's Peanuts.
It's a Peanuts rock and roll tie or a blues tie, yeah.
Snoopy. Love Snoopy.
Yes.
So anyway, all right, Steve.
What's the red mark there?
That's a
spaghetti sauce?
No.
Yeah.
That's the base. That's
a stand-up
base.
From McDonald's.
We're just
Come
kidding.
On.
It's a little, that colorful tie like that, you can cover up all kinds of spills
right?
on that tie. Yeah.
You think I wear wild ties just because I like wild ties? No.
There is a method to
There is.
All right, what do we got? What kind of story do you
I
got
I want to start out with talking about an Amazon woman. This, I want to tell you, may have heard if you've been watching the news at all, about Willie Murphy. Willie Murphy is 82 years old, and she's fairly fit. In fact, she is a weightlifter, a powerlifter.
At 82.
At 82. She is award-winning. She could deadlift 225 pounds.
Wow.
The Powerlifting Federation had to add an age division just for her.
Which she wins, apparently.
Which she wins. She's probably the only one. But, 225 pounds for an 82-year-old woman.
That's like lifting barbells? Is that?
Yeah, well, deadlift means you can get it off the ground. You can stand up and pick it up. Not You don't have to necessarily put it over your head.
You'd have to take me to the hospital if I tried that.
she could probably deadlift you, Fred.
Well, she ran into some problems at her house the other day. She was sitting in her living room, and the doorbell rang. And kept ringing, and she goes to answer the door. And I want you to hear in her own words what happened then. This is cut 7.
I am dialing 911, and all of a sudden, I heard a crash. And what it was, he had broken
the chain
lock, and he was in the living room. And I dropped the phone, and I ran. I said, oh, get out, get out, get out. And I was cussing, and he lunged at me. And I had a small TV table. I picked that table up, and it's about maybe 5 inches thick.
Yeah.
It's wooden, and it had metal legs. And I'm wailing him. And he was really dumbfounded. While I was hitting him, he fell backwards. Okay. And I had the shampoo that I had just bought at the dollar store.
All right.
I hurried up and I put it all in his face so he couldn't see.
Wow.
And you see the picture. They have a picture of this, a mugshot of this guy. He doesn't look she really beat him up.
He had a bad day.
Yeah,
he took a beating. Beat him to a pulp.
You know, I've never committed a crime like that. So when I say I think I know what he was thinking, this is not on the basis of experience, but you got to figure as this guy's falling under the blows from this 82-year-old woman, he's thinking, how am I going to live this down? And she's apparently beating the stuffing out of him.
She is.
Forgive the pun here during Thanksgiving, with a table.
Metal
legs, 5-inch thick. What an extraordinary story. this woman stood up for herself. And then the shampoo, she gives all the details.
Right.
I bought it at the dollar store. Lady, we don't care about that.
Fox and Friends was running out of time, and they were trying to get her off, and she wouldn't stop talking. It was brilliant.
I dare any district attorney to charge her with assault.
Right?
No.
I dare.
Yeah, you can't do that. She's defending her home, and absolutely. Besides, you won't get reelected.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, what else you got? We wanted to lead off with that because that's a good news story.
Yeah.
Anytime the person breaking in gets beat up by the 82-year-old lady, we're running that story.
We'll count that. Yes, absolutely. Well, the New York Times, and this is not going to surprise anybody. This is really hardly even news, but it's a reminder for anybody who might be out there looking at maybe possibly looking at a Democrat to support for the presidency is coming up. And there's a lot of Republicans who don't feel comfortable with the president. There's been a split in the Republican Party. Even among evangelicals, there's been a split. Let me just a reminder, a poll conducted by the New York Times, every candidate was asked if they would repeal the Hyde Amendment. That is a ruling that bars federal funding of abortions in virtually all candidates, all cases. Every Democrat candidate responded yes, meaning every single one of the Democrats running for president is for taxpayer-funded abortions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is, to me, just indicates that the Democrats are in favor of a scorched earth strategy. They don't care about rules. You know, the impeachment hearings, we've heard about all the different rules that, you know, you should abide by, and they don't care about the fact that the Hyde Amendment's been in force since the Clinton years,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Henry Hyde was around.
Since Henry Hyde, that's right. Mm-hmm. So they don't. This is scorched earth. This is kind of the socialist, the radical direction that the Democratic Party is going in. They want to force people who have to give taxes. You have to pay taxes. They're going to force people to give those taxes for abortion, and that's wrong. And the Democrats don't care about what you think or what I think. They just care about their ideology.
In the same poll, they found that many of those same Democrat candidates would ban abstinence-only education, sex education, and a majority said they would force insurance companies to cover abortion. That was a huge ruling, a victory for the Trump administration, actually,
right.
When they the Supreme Court ruled that you don't – they took the mandate, the individual mandate away, and like Hobby Lobby and those kind of people so they didn't want their insurance to cover abortions, and
right.
They won. But that's under attack. This is a religious freedom principle that's under attack right now. So,
Well, that seems – I mean, that was the Hobby Lobby case before the Supreme Court, right? I mean, how
yes.
can the Democrats – is that what they're saying?
Well, they're
they
not
going
to overturn – they would if they could. What they're saying is that they will require insurance companies to cover abortions.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So whether or not that – I don't know what the ruling actually said in Hobby Lobby.
That was different. That was about
a
company like Hobby Lobby that does not
want to offer abortion
right.
in its employee insurance.
Right.
So most companies, insurance companies, have plans that you can choose that don't offer abortion if you don't. I mean,
right.
you know, if you're not one that's wanting that to be covered or don't need it, you don't have to pay for it. But do you remember when the Obamacare came out? They really started mandating that every insurance policy. Remember, they had these plans that you had to choose, and some of these it didn't matter who you were. They just found they needed these things grouped together. So, abortion was put in with all of these gold and silver and bronze plans that you could buy, but you couldn't buy one without abortion coverage.
Right.
So I think that's where they're going to head back.
Okay. Well, again, to your point, as you explained, no surprise here in terms of where the Democrats
right.
are. This is the most radical group collection of candidates for the Democratic nomination that I've ever seen.
Let me ask you guys a question. Will that fact that every candidate supports taxpayer-funded abortion, will that be enough to persuade many of those who call themselves Christians but say, I'm still going to vote Democrat? So, you know, that
I don't think that'll persuade them otherwise, if that's what you're asking.
That's what I'm asking.
I think, for this reason, I think those Christians who support Democratic candidates, even those candidates who are in favor of abortion, those Christians have already made the calculation that that's not a deal breaker.
It's baked in.
It's baked in. So they would say, well, I would expect that, you know, and I don't think it would change their minds. They've already factored that in into their support, and they reason in their minds. I disagree with it. I think what we all probably are in agreement with disagreeing with this kind of thinking on the part of someone who claims to be a Christian. But their thinking is that abortion is not the only life issue, that helping the poor is just as important. They've already made that. They've already made that argument, and they've already settled that in their minds. So this new thing, I don't think, changes.
Here is, though, the interesting question. The divide in the evangelical community, and we've seen this over Donald Trump, and many never-Trumpers within the evangelical community who say, no matter what, I'm not voting for President Trump. What do they do now? I mean, are they just going to not vote? Or are they going to try to reason a way to find that, well, maybe it's not so bad?
Well, I think you just... You just vote for other races on the ballot. I've done that in voting in Mississippi. If there is a race where I go, I don't know who either of these two people are. Sometimes I might vote for the party that I normally vote for. Just assume. But there are times where I go, I don't know who any of these people are. I'm not voting in that particular race. So I think that if you're a Christian and you've got that, you're dead set against voting for Trump. You don't like the Democrat. You either write somebody in, or you just go on down to the rest of the ballot and make your choices.
Do you feel that not voting in that is the same as voting for a Democrat in this case?
I think it depends on the state you live in. I do. It can if it's a state where your vote could make a critical difference, like Pennsylvania or Ohio or someplace like that, one of these battleground states. Then not voting for a candidate that is more closely aligned with your Christian views, in this case, you know, Donald Trump, could be like voting for, because you're taking one away from a pro-life candidate who's in a very, very tight race with a pro-abortion candidate. But in other states where, for example, in Mississippi, where we live,
Or California, for that matter.
Or California, if you're a Democrat, not voting in a particular race probably isn't as important. Let me just put it that way. I don't want to get into
Ed said
telling
you didn't
people.
Have to vote for the president.
That's what I'm saying. People are going to say, "Well, you should." I'm just saying we're trying to calculate what happens right. If you vote for the senators or your representative or other races down ballot, and just decide not to vote in the presidential race. Is that technically like a vote for the opponent? And I think it depends on which state.
All right. The courts have been busy. I have a couple stories, and I know, Fred, you have a story as well. The Supreme Court, we'll start there, has denied a review, meaning a case can go forward from a climate scientist called Michael Mann. He is suing the National Review magazine and conservative think tank Competitive Enterprise Institute for defamation. After the magazine wrote an article about Mann that was not that flattering, they quoted the article. It said, instead of molesting children, he molested and tortured data. That's what the National Review wrote, quoting a blogger from CEI. The quote references allegations of sexual misconduct Mann faced but was acquitted of nearly a decade ago. So he is in the Supreme Court right now. One justice disagreed with denying or with allowing that
the case to go forward, you mean?
Well, justice said that he would have taken the case. The Supreme Court denied review, meaning I think I got this backward when I introduced it. They will not be hearing the case of Michael Mann.
Yeah.
But Samuel Alito said they should, and he said this. The petition in this case presents questions that go to the very heart of the constitutional guarantee of freedom of speech and freedom of the press. The protection affords journalists and others who use harsh language in criticizing opposing advocacy on one of the most important public issues of the day. And if you think of the way that the press has treated the president, some of the things they've said, this would maybe have an ability to put some fences around that, maybe?
Or I tell you what, one of the great things in this country is the First Amendment.
Right.
And as much as I hate the bias that I'm seeing in the media today, and in the news media I'm talking about, I still think we better be very careful about putting restrictions on what the media says.
Yeah.
I still believe, you know, the vast, vast, vast majority of people can discern bias and say, okay, this piece is not being fair to politician A.
Right.
But I would be very careful about when you take media to court of a judge saying, okay, in this case, I'm going to rule in favor of the person who's against this, who's
in this case, National Review, right?
Yeah, being criticized in the media for whatever the case may be, and here's why: because that will start you down the road of restricting journalism across the board. That a journalist can be taken to court because somebody doesn't like what I said about them,
right?
Or somebody argues that, well, this cost me election by so-and-so saying this kind of thing.
Right.
I think we have to be very, very careful about that because we don't want to live in Russia.
Right.
You know, where Pravda is an arm of the government.
Yeah.
And, you know, journalists start being thrown in jail for that. So I say that with all these caveats. We're living in a day and age in this country where the media is extremely biased against Donald Trump.
Right.
That's just a statement of fact. But on the other hand, I wouldn't want Donald Trump taking the media to court over this.
Yeah, I certainly agree with everything you said. We do need to be very careful. And I'm not a constitutional attorney, so this is one of those deals where I would probably ask Abe, if the National Review, was this a headline or an article?
It was an article they wrote quoting a blog post.
Okay. The only thing I would say about this, it sounds like, and that's why I would need to ask Abe's opinion, is that a claim that Michael Mann, is it Michael?
Michael Mann
is guilty of sexually molesting somebody. If you're going to make that charge, that sounds actionable to me. It's not the same as opinion pieces and saying I think Michael Mann is an idiot because of his hockey stick graph in terms of climate change. I'm not sure if that's
taken at face value. The words say instead of molesting children, he's molested and tortured data, which I guess a common meaning would mean he didn't molest children, but he did molest data.
Then that's probably safe.
It is harkening back to an allegation. It's like saying, oh, I would never call Ed Vitagliano a liar.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I would say that's probably safe to say. I was reading it a little different way, but now that you've repeated it, that's probably the more accurate rendering of what was said. Mm. That okay, well he didn't molest, I don't know what it might not have been children. I don't know what he was accused of.
He was accused of some kind of sexual molestation.
Okay.
Sexual misconduct.
All right. So I guess he's saying instead of being guilty of that, he's guilty of molesting data. Yeah, that's not the same as saying he's a sexual
predator.
Pervert. So that's probably safe.
He's a data pervert.
He's a data pervert. And all kinds of ugly things get said in this country, and you want to err on the side of liberty because, like you said, Fred, you go down that road, people first start self-censoring, and then before you know it, they are getting sued and then put in jail.
We're already starting to see it with some college newspapers and everything that are starting to back off of journalism just to appease the crowd. Yep. Another case that came before the Supreme Court, actually, they blocked a House subpoena directing President Trump's accounting firm to provide several years' worth of financial documents, including his tax returns, to a House committee. The Supreme Court, Chief Justice Roberts was the one who, I think, made this ruling, and he's going to let this thing play out in the lower courts. He's not going he's going to make it wait and to see what happens when their case winds its way through the court. So that's a victory for President Trump. But not every court decision of late has been a victory for President Trump, right, Fred?
Well, yeah, you had an Obama judge yesterday, and I say Obama judge because she was appointed by Barack Obama, orders ex-White House lawyer McCann to comply with a subpoena. Now, this is an ex-White House lawyer, and in this case, she said that the let me just read what she said. Her name is Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Simply stated, the primary takeaway from the past 250 years of recorded American history is that presidents are not kings. This means they do not have subjects bound by loyalty or blood whose destiny they are entitled to control. Now, what's going on here is that the Democrats would like to bring in the former White House counsel, Donald McCann, to testify. Now, this is the House Judiciary Committee, not the House
Intelligence Committee.
So they would like to bring him in. Interesting background. She had a big fan in Barack Obama.
The judge.
He wanted her, actually. She was on his short list to become a Supreme Court justice when the passing of Judge Scalia. He put her on the list. Remember, we had this whole debate,
right,
whether the Senate would select a next member of the Supreme Court
during an election year. During
Merrick Garland ended up being the person.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. That's the way she is ruled. That will likely be appealed, but I think, you know, as our boss has said, Tim has said, elections have consequences. So if Barack Obama had had his way, she would have been on the Supreme Court. Now, the bottom line in all of this, he is an ex-White House counsel. And so he ought to have the right to say the conversations that he had with his client are privileged.
Yeah. Right.
But they want him brought in. Now, to be fair, she did say if he is Donald McCann, if he appears before this Judiciary Committee, he does still have the right to say if a particular question he believes constitutes executive privilege, that he can claim that. So I'm not sure where this is going to go, whether he'll ever appear before the Judiciary Committee. But it's also a case that I think the Democrats knew who they were appearing for and making the making the arguments before. She's very much in the camp, I believe, of the Democratic Party.
So a little bit of judge shopping went on here.
I'm
with you. I think attorney-client privilege is very, very important, very, very important part of our judicial system. So you have that on one level, you have that issue in trying to make him, Don McGahn, appear before Congress and divulge. I mean, he could lose his license to practice.
I'm not sure what they want from him because he left the employ of the White House way before any of this Ukraine stuff came up.
Who knows? But you also have the issue of, like you said, of executive privilege. The executive branch and the legislative branch are co-equal.
Mm-hmm.
So does one get to tell the other one what to do in terms of what they're doing?
They're both subject to the law, I would think.
Yes, they yeah.
Like
sure.
Your attorney-client.
But I mean, in terms of forcing someone to come before Congress and divulge things that went on while you were working in the... who knows? Mm-hmm. I guess we'll find out, but we're not going to find out today.
I'll
tell you that much. All right, folks, that kind of wraps us up here for November 26th, you've been listening to Today's Issues. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. We'll be back here tomorrow on Wednesday for Today's Issues. And hope you join us then. If not, have a great Thanksgiving. May the Lord bless you and yours. Bye for now.